Heavenly Father, we thank you for being just a gracious God. How mighty art thou. Great is thy name and greatly to be praised, Lord God. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would come into this place, Lord God. As I minister this word, as I give this word, Lord God, increase in me that I might deliver your word with accuracy, Lord God, in the way you would have it, Lord God. So definitely that this word would not be of me and would be of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We worship you, and we ask forgiveness for our sins, and we ask to be cleansed. Teach us your word in Jesus' name, and all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
We are in Proverbs chapter 28, starting at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28, starting at verse 1. The scripture reads, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions." The wicked flee when no man pursues. People, because they have a wicked mind or a wicked heart, seem like they're always on the run.
Yeah.
They're running. They're always looking behind their shoulders because they done did dirt.
Yeah.
And that's not the peace. That's the place for you. That's why we want to do good, so that we have peace in our heart, so that we won't have issues in our mind and in our heart, so that we don't have to keep looking over our shoulder because we done did so many people wrong. And then it says, "But the righteous are as bold as lions." The righteous stand up, and they'll stand in the face of adversity. They can come boldly before the throne of grace. 2 says, "For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." So, for transgressions, the breaking of the law, which can only be accomplished by those who serve God. Because sinner is just a sinner. A transgressor is someone who knows the law and breaks it. So, knows the principles of God. So, it says, "For the transgressor of the land, many are the princes thereof." They become their own authority. The prince is the authority. The one that controls, the one that tells people to do. And the one that says, "Go here," and they go. And the one that says, "Come hither," and they come hither. See, because he has authority over the people. So is the transgression of the land are the princes thereof. Many people turn to their own devices, their own mindsets. Even in Christianity, they think about it for themselves. It's all about them. It's all about them. What about me? What about me? What about me? And then they start creating policies, which is man-made stuff, and negating God's statutes, coming against God's precepts, and just doing all things that are against him, not even realizing that they were in a state of transgressing. So this is what happens. It's easy to happen when transgression is in the land. When people are, even in the house of God, people are surrounded by Christians, and they're watching other Christians break laws and say things and do things that is not godly. And we just pick those things up, just naturally. See, because you see somebody else doing it, and you think it's right. But you never stop to check the word of God to see if it's right.
Amen.
See, for every individual, the word of God has got to be your final authority. It cannot be in a person. It must be in the Christ. And the Christ is the word of God. See, that's him given to us on this earth, because he is the only one that completely followed the will of the Lord. And he goes on to say, "But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." So when you are in the state or the position of the Christian and you're operating as a Christian, by your knowledge of God and by your understanding of God, you shall be prolonged. You shall last. You shall handle it. But if you don't have that, if you do not have the knowledge, which is the word of God, and if you do not have the understanding of that word, you are not going to last. You're going to constantly keep falling into the pit of many transgressors. And sooner or later, after doing it over and over again, you're going to become your own authority over your life. Then it's going to be all about you. No longer about God, all about you. 3, a poor man that oppresseth the poor It's like a sweeping rain, which leaveth no food. A poor man who's poor goes out of his way to oppress somebody that's poor. It's just like crabs in the basket. Somebody, the crabs see you climbing out the basket, then they want to grab onto your foot, trying to get out the basket and pull you down. Both of y'all fall. It don't make sense. The poor oppressing, holding down someone else that's poor just so they can get up. That's like a sweeping rain. A rain that just sweeps through the land, a quick flash, pew, and it don't even wet the ground enough to bring no food.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Waste of energy.
I got it.
A waste of life.
That's a waste.
Yeah. Four, they that forsake the law praiseth the wicked, but such as keepeth the law contendeth with them. So they that forsake the law, change upon the law, praise the wicked. Those that know to do good and choose to do differently, you are not praising God. You're praising wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Just by your actions. The devil don't care how he gets the praise. He just wants the praise. See? And when you do good, you're giving glory unto God. So your actions have a lot, the way you speak, the way you say things, the way you do things, they have a lot to do with it. Even when they come against you, you've got to be at a place of peace, not to lash back. You have got to be a man or a woman of so much character that you walk amongst lions, tigers, and bears. Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah.
And not bite back.
That's
see, that's character. That takes some building of the character. But they that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contended with them. And this is, you contend with the wicked. In other words, contending. Like you're a prize fighter. I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this by doing good. You can try to win by doing evil. You're not going to win. Because evil is already condemned. You'll never win doing evil. You'll never win doing wicked. Wicked, but you're going to try to come and contend with somebody who's living, trying to live right, trying to live holy. No. But when you live like that and you keep the law of God, then you will prevail every time. And when you understand that, you don't have to argue. You don't have to fuss. You don't have to curse nobody out. You are on the winning team. That side is already condemned. And no matter how many years you get away with it, sooner or later, it's going to come to an end. And your end is going to be fire and brimstone. And then you'll be spending eternity thinking about all the opportunities you had to get God and stepped on people to do you. That's hell.
Yeah, it is.
To have a constant tape playing over and over in your mind. That's hell for eternity. Never be able to forget the people that you did wrong to. Plus you're burning and you're falling. That's hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's hell. But if you notice here, both times he mentioned the law. And so I'm going to take this opportunity because we're coming out of the Proverbs and we were in Psalms. But you'll find that a lot of times when the Psalms and the Proverbs are mentioning the law, they're more talking about the law that is to come, which is grace. But they're talking about the love of mercy now. And every time the law is mentioned or the commandment is mentioned, people often think that it's talking about the law of God that was given to Moses. No, those were only 10 commandments. And they were commandments for people who had no law, who were coming out of slavery and had no direction, and they were only to give them directions. Does the law still exist? Yes, it does. But Christ made it all fulfilled when he died on Calvary's cross, because if they had kept to love your neighbor as you love yourself, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you have fulfilled all of the law. You wouldn't have had to go to the rest of it. As a matter of fact, when Christ talked about the law, he didn't mention all 10. He didn't. You can't find no book where Christ spoke about all 10 of the law. Some things didn't need to be mentioned because they're all fulfilled in love. The way you love your brother. If you want God to look past your fault and see your need, then you got to look past the faults and needs of others. If you can't do that, then your sin still remains. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you agree with it. Facts are facts, and the truth is the truth. But if you can forgive your brother when he knows he's wrong, even when he won't even apologize, then how much more can your Heavenly Father forgive you? See, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Now, that don't mean you open up the door and let them take you places where you don't want to go. Some people you just got to love from a distance. The key word is still love. So, I want to read you this about the law. It says, and it's a little thing I kind of put together. It says, the law of God, often referred to as the Mosaic Law or the Torah, is a central element in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Notice I said the Judeo-Christian experience, because it is people who want to believe in Judaism and the laws of Moses, but still want to believe in Christ. And they find themselves in a fix between two, because you cannot operate in grace and operate in the law. The two cannot exist together. You must be under one. You still hold respect for the other, but you must be under one and follow those principles. How do I know that? Because what comes next, it says, this Judeo-Christian tradition, it encompasses the commandments, statutes, ordinance, precepts, and principles given by God to the people of Israel through Moses. And if you look for God's statute in the Ten Commandments, you'll find it. If you look for God's precepts in the Ten Commandments, you'll find it. If you look to God's principles, you'll find it. And you'll find out that every principle, every cord of glory hangs upon the love factor, the actual action of the word. Love is a verb. It's not something you feel. It's something you do. See, verb is an action. It's something you must act out. It is something you do. You can't sit back talking about you love God and never even open up his word. You can't sit back and talk about I love you, honey, and then never do anything for her.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Likewise, wives can't sit back and talk about, I love him, but he just irks my mind. So I don't do nothing for him. Just as soon as you said that, you just proved you don't love him.
That's right.
Because love is something you do. It's not something you talk.
That's right.
See? Now, it's beautiful if you can talk it and do it.
Yeah.
But basically, it's something you do. That is the principle that defines love. It's an action. See? If I love you, I'll look past your fault. For God so loved the world that he gave himself. He sacrificed. He showed how much he loved by dying on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So that all men, when they look at this situation and believe, they will see he did it. And if I had been the only one on the face of this earth, he would have did it just for me.
Amen.
See, that is the beauty of love. And so all the law was hung up on the law. And then he goes on to say, these laws are primarily found in the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The law serves as a guide for moral conduct, religious practices, and civil governance. A governing body of practices. Religiously given, because you're serving a religion, you're serving God, but it gives you moral conduct. These things can never be achieved without God's statutes, God's precepts, and God's principle. Why you say that, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked me. Because if we go into the next part, it says, but it's only through love by mercy will you clearly see God's statutes, precepts, and principles. You could always see the commandment.
Yeah.
You could always see the ordinance of the commandments, the do this and don't do that. But you gotta look past those, because that's not what those things hung up on. They hung up on love. So when you operate out of love, then you start to show mercy. And when you start to show mercy, and it's only by mercy that you get to see God's precepts, his statutes, and his principles. It says, which is given by God. So it says, then you will clearly see God's statutes, precepts, and principles, which is given by God for the Gentile as well as the Jew and all of mankind. For this was created by God alone and brought in by Jesus Christ alone. It is known by his disciples as amazing grace. Notice I said it is known by his disciples as amazing grace. Those who are known as a Talmudim, which is Hebrew for disciple of Christ. They are followers of Christ. They get into this word and follow his precepts. They get into this word and follow his statutes. They get into this word and they follow his principles. Those are the three things that create upon this earth a freedom to have moral conduct, religious practices, and civil governance. And without that, you won't find it. It does not exist if you just follow the Ten Commandments. Because every last one of them, commandments, statutes, ordinances, precepts, principles, are God's law. They're all God's law. And they are all to be adhered to. The commandments and the ordinance you cannot do on your own. Mm. It must be done by love. But the law is perfect. God's law is perfect. I didn't say the law of Moses. Because when Moses got through with him, there were 613 and it was not perfect. Because if you kept this one, then you broke that one. If you broke that one, then you kept that one. So it's not perfect because man put his hand in what God designed. That was supposed to be hanging up on the two principles of mercy, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Looking out for someone else besides yourself. See? And if you do those things, you cannot and you will not fulfill, break the law. You can't. But according to 613, you can. It don't matter what you do. See? So we're not talking about the laws of Moses. There are 613 laws of Moses. And if you're going to keep one, then you, by law, have to keep them all.
That's right.
See? And since no man could keep it, that's why Christ had to come. He had to die that man would be free from the tyranny of the law. See? So, in Psalms 19, 7, talk about God's, how the law is perfect. 7 through 8, it says, in Psalms 19, 7 through 8, it says, the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Notice how he brought in the testimonies of God. Notice how he brought in the converting of the soul. Notice how he brought in the statutes of the Lord. Notice how he did not just leave the name of commandment. But all of it is the law. He's saying at the beginning, the law of God is perfect. Converting the soul. And then he goes on to explain what law he's talking about. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So it's not just about following the commandment, which they are fulfilled in the love factor. It is about following his statutes, speaking of his testimony. See, the law of Moses does not, the law of Moses did not convert the soul. Show me what part of it converts the soul. It doesn't. It controls the flesh. It does not convert the soul. Only the first two. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if the law, the perfect law of God has got to be to the place where it converts the soul. And it's only the first two that does that. Everything on the rest of it hangs upon those. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, and then we're going to sit there for a minute as I do some more reading. I kind of put all this stuff together at the last minute, so I'm hoping that it comes out very, very respectful and peaceable. And I hope it's easy to treat. Yes. Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about the law of God. Now we understand the law of God is all five: commandments, statutes, ordinances, precepts, and principles. These are all God's laws. These are all God's commands for all of mankind. It's not just governed to 10. See, it is governed to 2. Because all of these operate under love. The law of God, as presented in the Bible, is a complex topic with various interpretations and applications. However, some key verses and themes highlight its significance. Central to these verses is the concept of obeying God's commandments, loving Him, and understanding that love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. I don't believe you heard me. Love is the fulfillment of the law. When you operate in love, you have fulfilled every commandment that God can ever give. Every statute that is placed there. Every principle is fulfilled in that. See? And believe it or not, all 613 of Moses' laws is fulfilled in love. Because you can't break the action of love. Why? Because the scripture says God is love. In order to break love, you got to break God. Show me a man that can break God. I'll show you an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says God is love.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break God? So you can't break love if you operate in it from the place of mercy. See?
Mm-hmm.
Which is now known under the New Testament as grace. So let's go to Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 10, because I don't want you to believe me. It says, maybe I should go up. Let's go to 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. It says in 9, for this cause thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? Because you love. Thou shalt not kill. Why? Because you love. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because you love. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Why? Because you love. Thou shalt not covet. Why? Because you love. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You have it written in scripture,
mm-hmm.
and it's telling you plain.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are coming at you with condemnation, trying to point out the Ten Commandments, they're not loving on you. They're trying to control you. That's not fulfilling the law. Because if they understood that you can win more flies with honey then you can't vinegar. That's what my mama used to say.
It's a fact.
See. So, if you're trying to draw somebody to God, then you need to come at them from a place of love. Always in truth. But there's a way to assimilate truth, and we don't practice that. We don't learn how to give truth with the blanket of love. You know, I got to tell you the truth, but I got to wrap this up in love, because I'm not trying to run you away. I'm trying to draw you. See, and that's what God has pleased with, that brothers would come together and talk to one another and draw on each other. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 28. And we are almost out of this book of Psalms. We've been in here a long time, huh? it's Proverbs. I'm sorry. I keep saying Psalms. I'm getting them confused. We're doing too much. Proverbs. Thank you, Z. Proverbs chapter 28. I was turning there, but I was saying Psalm, wasn't I?
Yes.
So, when we read 28:4 again, it says, they that forsake the law praiseth the wicked. So, when you operate under law and don't operate in love, what are you doing? You're praising the wicked. The devil is getting pleasure from what you're talking about. And you're using scripture to do it. See? But when you come from a humble place of mercy, trying to win somebody to get them to understand that what they're doing is wrong, then you're operating in the love of the Lord. And God is pleased with that.
Huh?
He goes on to say, but such as keep the law contended with them. So it's a contending, like a contender in a boxing ring. You're contending with them. But you're contending with them from a place of love that you go win them. You're just not having out a all knockout, drag out, brawl out, fight with them. You're trying to win them. And when you see people don't want to be won, it's better for you to just be quiet. Don't even cast them pearls before that's why.
Amen.
See. 5. Evil men understand not judgment. But they that seek the Lord understand it all things. So evil men don't understand judgment. Because evil men don't want to be judged. How many times have you heard a Christian say, you can't judge me? Even though the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. That is true, but then you don't stop there. It says, first take that mote out of your eyes so that you see clearly to judge your brother. It did not say it was a sin to judge your brother. It is just the way you do it. If you take that plank out of your eye and start trying to judge them from the place of showing them a more excellent way of how to do things so that they can stand before God. But usually when you go there, people don't want to hear it. That's all right. Count them as swine and move on. You can't keep casting pearls before swine. You just got to move on. 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So it is better for a poor man that walks in his uprightness. Uprightness is something that you have learned to do, because all of us was down low. I ain't talking about that freaky stuff. All of us was down low. We was down low, rotten, no good to the core. But then when Christ washed us and cleaned us and we accepted that,
amen,
then we started to develop something that brought us to the place of uprightness. And so it is better for you to be poor and not have a dime. Let everything go. Don't have a dime, but walk in your integrity.
Amen.
See? Then for you to have a whole lot of riches, it says, then he that is perverse in his ways, which is twisted,
yes,
in his ways, though he be rich. Because money corrupt people. It make people jump through all kind of twists and turns. 7. Whosoever keeps the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. So he that is the companion of riotous, people that like to argue, people like to fuss, but also people that like to party and drink and get high. It don't make sense. Either you're spending your time with God or you're spending your time in an inebriated state, which makes you praise the devil and not praise God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But you are you are the companion. You don't even have to do it. But if you're not operating in wisdom, then you are the companion. Your friends are the people that love to party, love to get high, love to do they dirt. You are the companion of righteous men that shameth his father. You are the companion of fools, it says in another place. Don't be a companion of fools. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship of God, loving on you. Thank you for this word, Lord God. Rich and powerful, Lord God. But thank you for being able to speak the oracles of God. I thank you for using me. We give you glory, honor, and praise. I pray that this word would touch everybody out there that listens and would hear, and that it would stir up something in their lives. In Jesus' name, only you can bring men to salvation. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. People, get ready, because he's coming. He's coming.
Of the pit where the evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell never unveil. The downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Not reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together, and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs. Look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. What's wrong and know what's right, don't delay. Stop thinking with your world anyway. Cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you're lying. Ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuking people, stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what he say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
That's between you and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you see behind closed doors. And yet he forgave you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you burn in fire, and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though. You begging again and please. There is hope. 7 seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up, and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it, but you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.